Everybody, and welcome to episode 74, Run to the Hill, sponsored by Cheer Charge. If you want to fuel your adventure with real food made with real ingredients and real people, then head over to www.cheercharge.co.uk. I have just finished one, so there might be a little bit. I might check my teeth in Zoom as we're talking. I had such a big training day last week. I had 4 Cheer Charge bars in one day. That was a lot. I had to go
record.
And I reckon, well, I've had a lot in races, but I reckon 4 on a recreational day with no racing is a record. How are you? What's news? We've had quite a break because I had a slight mental breakdown. It's like a week and a bit since I talked to you. It's like
Thursday, so I've got a busy day today.
You've got to get to work. You've got to work.
Imagine if you worked on a newspaper and news happened.
Gabby. I couldn't because I'd be like, can't make the deadline. Too busy.
That'd be quite stressful. But yeah, okay. Last week I felt like a bit of training fatigue. I was really not looking forward to hard workouts. I think it's probably safe to say.
Suck it up, princess.
Suck it up, yeah. But so what I did, again, the bike is really good for this. The Zwift is great. That I did my classic 2x15 minutes on that.
It never seems as bad on the bike. It never seems as onerous, does it?
Yeah. It was good. And that's quite, because my FTP, is that what it is? The threshold.
Functional threshold power. Maybe just Google that, because every episode you keep going about, I don't know what it is. So educate yourself. Okay?
But it's getting high, the numbers are going higher. So the workouts are getting.
Whenever my clients question numbers, I'm like, as long as they're going up, don't worry too much. When they start going down, we have a bit of rest, So as long as the numbers are going up, you're doing great.
The next one, because I've got an hour to spare. But that's the wicked thing with Zwift. It just goes, have you got an hour to spare? So you just go, you
kind of. And it beasts you. I mean, some of those workouts and they start and I'm like, I can't hold this. It's just a warm up.
Yeah. Well, 15 minutes is a long way. I think the next one up is the 220 minutes, which that's going to be interesting. So we did that. And I didn't do another. I did do a midweek long run, which is good. But I didn't do my 200s and 400s, and I didn't do my other session. Mainly, I just didn't fancy it. But B, I was mindful. I had two big runs on the weekend.
Okay.
And I think I mentioned to you before. I don't like increasing too much at once. So I thought, well, the miles, or not so much the miles, maybe the time on feet would be a lot more than normal. So maybe don't do
Keep an eye on those numbers. You want them going up, but not too quick.
Aaron, my friend, was doing the Lakeland 100 recce. So he was going from Ambleside to Coniston. So I jumped in with him and I did a Fairfield horseshoe loop on the Saturday evening. And then on Sunday, we did the espresso round, which is like a short. They have the George Fisher T round, which is the big one, 30 miles, I think. But then they also have a shorter Catbells. Blanking on the name of the bloody places now. But anyway, a shorter version of that, which is about 3,000 feet and a big loop from Keswick. So that was awesome. And funny thing happened. I was waiting in Ambleside and 2 people asked me actually if I was on the Lakeland 100 recce because I was there in running kit.
Middle-aged man in running kit,
yeah. And I wasn't, but one of them said, oh, I recognise your voice. So I know. If I hang around in Ambleside, that's twice now in that spot in Ambleside. If I just talk to people, then...
You go there.
But it was lovely having a chat with, someone who listens to the show. She was speaking very highly of you, Eddie. But I was really paranoid because about a minute before I chatted to her, I stood in some dog poo. So I was stinking. I was like, oh, my goodness me.
Did you say I was just trotting in dog poo?
No, I didn't.
Going, it's lovely, that Gary. But, it's personal hygiene.
Yeah, I was like, I was just getting all my bits and bobs ready and I just squelched in something on the floor. And this is, bearing in mind, this is in Ambleside, where the park is, there's public toilets, lots of children running around, and some lazy bugger had let their dog.
It's the worst, even like, it's just the worst, isn't it? It's almost worse than human poo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was pretty grim. And then, like I said, to be standing talking to somebody, I felt a bit embarrassed. But yeah, I think they all had a great time on their Lakeland 100 recce. And then my Fairfield horseshoe, I don't know why I thought I'd do it all in the light, but coming down off Fairfield in the dark, seemed to take double the time it was.
See the lights as you're coming down? Are you heading into, so it's not like total pitch black, but.
Well, we basically, you got into some clagged, the tops, the higher fells were covered in a cloud. But as soon as you got out of that, yeah, in the dark, you could just see the little sprinklings of light.
Oh, take a head torch with you in the mountains, Gary.
Oh, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I had all that. I had all the proper kit, but it just, I don't know why, I just thought I'll get up and down in the daylight. No, I didn't. But it was honestly...
Catches you out in the winter, doesn't it?
But I was there and I could just took a moment, and it was... When you got out of the wind, because the weather wasn't great on Saturday, to be honest, when you were really high up. But when you got out of the wind and it was just silence, it was wonderful. Really, really enjoyed it. I think... I'm just trying to think anything else of any interest. No. Yeah, over to you, my... little Spudler. How are you doing?
Spudler. Anyone see that on Facebook? Describe my last few days. Very busy, not achieving very much. Someone's put it as like a 17th century term. I'm not sure that's truly viable, but I like the word.
Yeah.
Spudler.
It was like Countdown, wasn't it? The dictionary corner. I thought.
I loved a bit of Countdown when I was at university. Countdown, Neighbours, Home and Away, Hollyoaks.
Classics.
Then you might like actually do something. Yeah. Oh, it's been busy, Gary. As we know, we've had a few little. minor changes to the schedule. The thing is, okay, I was thinking about this on my run today, not on the uphill bits, because I couldn't think about anything apart from the blood coming from my eyeballs, but on the downhill bits, I was thinking, the thing is, I love all this training. I love all the training, love all my work, I love all the juggle, but the ball's in the air. If the one goes out, what are you going to do to keep the other ones up? So now I'm just like, I think as well with our relationship now, I can just go close it down. Okay, this is what I need to do. Otherwise, everything is going to, and not try and fit it all in, because that's when it goes wrong. And if we record the podcast and one of us like not prepared, I always think, well, like, you know, to be able to think about it. I know people think this just comes off naturally, but it's a lot of preparation that goes into the script. Anyway, super busy few days. And my mum would say, it's nobody's fault but your own. But starting to feel, so this is my, I reckon, about third weekish of what I would term the winter training. And I'm starting to feel a little bit of fitness. It's a bit of a grind, won't lie. There's nothing glamorous about it. It's like just every day, the hours in. But we're so lucky with the weather. It's like not as cold as it was. It's about -4, -5, but it's blue sky. So it's not hard. Ooh. Once you get kitted up, it's just once you're out, it's beautiful. Having said that, the ski tour I did with a mate on Tuesday, we were in a t-shirt. I joke you not, in a t-shirt.
Oh my goodness.
It was so hot. We were sweating our proverbial boobies up. So yeah, starting to feel a little bit better. Sad news, though. I got my rejection email yesterday.
Oh, I thought about that. Oh,
why would you reject Eddie? Why? All that hard work to get those points, and now they go, well, you're welcome to come and race, but you need to get those, you need to do those points again, and then you need to enter one of our races to get into the lottery. And I'm like, well, you can, you know where you can stick that, and it's what was on the bottom of your trainer on Saturday. I don't really want to do any of the other races. They're expensive. They're not at good times. They're not in places that I would easily get to.
So that's the deal now. You have to. But that's the deal, is that you have to do their races so you can collect their pebbles. That's
you're just collecting my money. So I'm not jumping through any more hoops for them. And then you still might not get in.
Well, this is it. I was just going to ask that. So literally you could do all their affiliated races that maybe do or don't cost more than an equivalent race. And then it is still a ballot at the end of that.
Yeah. So you can still not get in. I'm not going to do it. Okay. I'm walking away from my dream. There are, I'm blessed in that I live where I live and there are loads of other 100-mile mountain races that you can do that are probably nicer. It's just, I, you know, when I did that last year and I did that loop and I've dreamt about it and thought, I want to be out there. I want to be going up those climbs.
Yeah.
It's not my time. It's not my time.
Yeah.
Never mind other races. I've just got to run. So like yesterday when I was training, I was like, okay, I'm going to get my ranking up to 800 so that I can get an elite place.
How do you know what your ranking is? I haven't got.
Because I do a lot of the races out here, you get your ranked.
Ah.
But my ranking was much higher in England on flatter, faster races. Yeah. That I would do much better in the overall field as well. But I've done loads of like shorter hillier races. So my ranking's gone down quite a bit because I don't finish as far up the field.
Okay.
Whereas when I do like, I did the longer races, I got loads more points. So anyway, and I had three kids. And so I've missed years and then you run kids. Anyway, it's all a bit convoluted. But anyway, if I have a good year, get my ranking up. I don't think I ever get my ranking up high enough to get an elite entry. Do you never say never?
Never.
We'll never know. So now I'm going to look into, I've got Lavaredo in June. So that I was slightly uninvested in that, thinking it was going to be a build up to UTMB, but now could be, I can put a few more eggs in that basket because I will find a race probably in October so that I can give it all at Lavaredo, good rest.
But Lavaredo is a pretty legit ear race anyway.
Come on. It's a good, it's hardly a backup plan race, is it? So I'm still stoked about that. I'm just sad because I feel as well as like a woman, a competitive woman, I could have been competitive, and there's going to be people that have got places that could stop, will stop because they're tired and they haven't put the training in. So if you're someone that's got a place,
oh, it's a dangerous conversation this, Eddie.
No, I mean, if you stop and you're injured, fair enough. Yeah. If you stop because you haven't done the training or it's a bit too hard, I've got no time for you, you've taken my UTMB place, so don't you come knocking on my door asking for competition. Don't edit that out, Gary. That's fine. That could go public. You've got UTMB place. You finish it for me. Anyway, UTMB Vancouver, if you've got a place, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's funny. It's with the podcast. Normally I'd see people's if they got into the ballot for London or Great North Run, but this year I've had a lot of UTMB exposure. It's been great. Or sad, depending on who.
Anyway, not giving them any more exposure on our international podcast. That's it. No more advertising for UTMB. Yeah. Okay. Other people have been doing races that they got into and they didn't have to pay a lot of money because those are the sort of races that we love. Elsie Davis, who we had on the show, can't remember the episode number, but about 10 episodes ago, she is trained. She's going to do the Golden World Trail Series this year. And she was over in Gran Canaria and she was second at the Galeotia Trail Race. She was actually then promoted to first because the girl that won didn't have her ID card on her at Kitcheck. An ID card? I've never seen that on, apart from when I've been traversing countries. Anyway, she was very very gracious saying, you know, I didn't serve first paper. Great start to the season. She's been out there training. We're looking forward to following her this season. What did you find, Gary?
I was just going to say, actually, first, she's got some great new swagger with the North Face.
North Face kit. We were just talking before we came on show about which companies, of which there are probably many, which ones you would, I bet
I'm
play this game too, going, would I? I mean, which kit? My husband's always like, oh, if only Patagonia would give me some ski sponsorship. I'm like, I think they've seen you ski and I'm not sure they're going to sign you up for your free riding.
Winchester Off-Road Half Marathon. I don't know anything about this race, but it's off-road. It's a half marathon and it's a result I could find. So it fit the criteria and Jack Oates took the win there in 1 hour 18 and 33 seconds. I suppose in theory that might come across as being a bit slow, but depending on the terrain.
I think, it's probably pretty fast.
Well, yeah, I suppose it is, but it depends on the terrain, it's hard to say. And then Lisa Shy took the win for the ladies in 1 hour 36 and 13. Well done, everyone.
this week we have our second part of our chat with Russell Bentley. Shall we say the stats? Shall we give him this? He's going to love this.
Oh, wowzers. Yes, he was our biggest. I look at the stats in two.
Gary loves the stats. And he says stats. To me, if you looked at the stats, Eddie, and I'm like, Gary, I'm struggling to buy milk.
We have a Friday download, which is when the show is released. And then we have a per show 7-day download. I don't like to do the whole pot because that's everything in together. But yes, Russell, you're very popular. Over 600 downloads last Friday, which is up on the average, and 900 and something so far for the week, which that must put us in the top 2% now, Eddie, of podcasts. So yeah, I don't know if we're getting better or...
Oh yeah, it's definitely down to us. I mean, love you, Russell. Great show. But I think probably slowly the word is getting out there about this dynamic pair. but it was a great show. He was really great. And I really enjoyed listening to it again.
Well, so good. We had to do two shows.
Okay, so here we go. Here's his second part. This part, we talk all about his Paddy Buckley rant. And he honestly, he sold this to us, didn't we? We sat there like... young children, and he tells a great story. He spins a great yarn all about the round, and he's very truthful about how hard it was, how he faced his demons, how he really did challenge himself for this round, and what he learned from the whole process. So here we have part two of our chat with Russell Bentley.
Right then, should we talk about the Paddy Buckley round? I love to know stats, Russell. Yeah, tell me the stats. Miles, elevation.
Yeah, what is the actual stats? Because we've talked about Paddy Buckley quite a bit, haven't we, Gary? And we actually talked about you, Russell, before we were best friends, when you actually did it. We mentioned you in the podcast. But what were your watch stats at the end of that?
Right. So that's a good point that you make, Eddie. And it's contentious. But it's the difference between the Garmin and then the way these old school guys have measured it. I'm not sure how they did it because they somehow came up with 61 miles. Normally comes off on a Garmin or a Suunto at 65.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
there is Garmin discrepancy, but over long distances like that, when you're out and you're exposed with a direct view of satellites, they're normally pretty accurate. And
that's across the board. Other people's Garmins have been...
Yeah, 64, 65. And there's a different, route you can take here and there, but not many people are going. I'm looking at people who are going the quickest way possible. So I'm going to, if I round it down to 64, but I would say it's safely over 61, about 64 miles. And those miles count at the end. Yeah. You feel those miles. Yeah. Garmin's and Suuntos and these GPS watches are definitely less good at measuring elevation, but that's pretty easy to do with OS maps. So it's about 27,000-28,000 feet.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
That's it's pretty much Bob Graham round, isn't it, really? They're not a million miles away.
A little bit more, I think. Everyone says Paddy's harder. I don't know. I could possibly comment.
What's it like to move around the Paddy?
So I've got to be honest with you, I've come from a running background and I did actually meet Damien Hoare out here when he was training for UTMB last year. And we met in a cafe and he was saying, it's great for him because he's come from a walking background. But I am quite proud and I like to run whenever I can run. I just enjoy the motion, the rhythm of the running. And if I can run anything, any part of it, I will run it. So my dream is, Gary, to be able to run the whole thing one day. But there are definitely parts you can't run. There's a scramble over Triven that's, if you were going to run it, it would be very risky. I know people that have, but, when you're taking into what I like to think about is if you take a 1 in 100 chance, that you're going to fall, right? Yeah. And you make a jump, it's a 1 in 100 chance you're going to fall, and you do 100 of those in the rounds, you're probably going to fall, So I'm always taking the least risk and the easiest his way over rounds like that, whereas perhaps some sort of race I would. But it's runnable. It's really runnable, you know, and I feel like the lines that I take, I try and make sure it's as runnable as possible. Yeah, so there's a bit in the Canerai that's not runnable. It's a scramble, and you've probably experienced this yourself. Sometimes when you have to scramble, you move the energy systems around. You know, once you're up the point. And so it gives you a rest as well. So you're still working hard, but you are getting a rest off the legs. So, yeah, the paddy, you know, there's certain road sections, and there's a lot of hills that aren't too steep, you know, that you definitely get running on. For me, in the winter, I hit a wall, as you always, and I always seem to do, and so I ended up walking anyway. But that was because I was forced to, not because I wanted to.
Could you talk us around your round?
The winter paddy Buckley, I first did it last year, December 2020, so that's actually a year and a bit. And I wasn't out and out going for the record. Actually, what happened was I'd been going for the summer record with a lockdown, and in a recce, I pulled a big rock onto my knee and bashed my knee, and it prevented me from finishing the summer round. I kept trying to pull out with a knee injury. And then the winter, I didn't want to do the winter because I'm scared of the dark, legitimately scared of the dark. I just get freaked out by all that black. I start to put like horror movies in place of where the blackness is, and things are chasing me, and it's all going wrong. Wow. And I get very scared very quickly. Yeah. And so I didn't want to do it. And then a good friend of mine, a good mountain runner called Chris Smith, he actually died in late summer on a simple mountain run. You know, he's off on holiday in Scotland. Yeah. And I don't know if you heard, and just the nicest, most beautiful guy. And it really shook me up. And, you know, it sounds kind of counterintuitive. A friend of yours dies in the mountains. Why would you then go out to the mountains? But it just woke me up to just how short and fragile and quick life is and how quickly it could be over. And I was like, I've got this adventure at my doorstep. I'm fit and healthy. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just go for it and hope that that's something he might be proud of. And then I managed to raise a bit of money for the foundation that his wife set up. So that was a really positive experience, but I didn't get the record. What happened on that round was a whiteout came in at night, and I just got this white coming back to me on the head torch. And
That's just awful.
It's really bad.
And it's so tiring on your eyes.
Exhausting. Yeah. And you just really slow to a walk. It's like running with white sheets. Yeah. You know,
and you're like, you're almost like...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Eddie. Like I likened it to, you know, if you ever as a kid run through your mum's like sheets on the line, you're like, this is literally how I felt. I was just going around like that for hours. And so I ended up like going from at record pace, it's slipping massively. And I think Damon Hall had the record at 21:30 and I ran 22:45. So that was fine. That was all good. And in the summer, I went out again and I got the solo record. It was 17 hours 40 with the Dragon's Back. And then, you know, I still had unfinished business with this winter round. I still wanted to go back and do it. And I went out. I've got like a chief meteorologist friend of mine who's a track runner who's like now got a weather station in his
super
back garden.
Handy. Did you actually build it for him? Were you like, I'll build your weather station? I've got to get
retail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I'll subsidize it. Yeah. All the millions that I make from doing these silly rounds. I could send him a few Voom bars or something. Yeah. Anyway, no, he's really good at that stuff, you know, and can give me a much more detailed analysis of what all the different weather charts are saying. You know, I could possibly understand what he's contemplating. And he said there was this window that I could look at early December, but I would need to set off at 11 o'clock at night.
Ooh.
Yeah, and run right through the night. And this was going to be the best.
Is this, and that's primetime ghoulie time when they come out at midnight.
All those baddies.
They're going to find you. Exactly. It's going to be midnight.
I was scared. It was really, really weird for me. Yeah. Like, and then what to do during the day, you know, like it's trying to hang around all day knowing you've got this big thing coming up at 11. So it was a weird experience. And I went out at 11 and I was going for solo unsupported, and the weather window, it just didn't transpire. Like, it just got bad quickly. And I was going over the most remote leg to start with, because I had this tactic where I wanted to get sunlight for these two ridges, Trudon and Van Cleridge. I wanted sunlight on those. And so it meant I had to start further back on this bad leg. And the hail came down first, you know, to get me proper soaked and freezing. And then that turned into driving snow. And I was out in the middle of nowhere, you know, it was the longest leg, 20 miles. And there was not, you know, at the point that I was at, there was no bailout point, you know. So I had to just finish this leg. And I got freezing cold very quickly. And because I couldn't see anything, I had to walk. And it was a disaster. I got down to the road section and I'd done 20 miles of the 60 hours I'm done. This is not even it's something I need to think about. I'm so done from freezing cold. I'm like, you know, verging on hypothermia. This is over. And so I canned it. And I was feeling pretty demoralized. You know, my mum and dad had come, as the poor guys, you know, were just tortured by me doing these things. Like, they worry about their little boy still, you know, 40 running around having these adventures, but they still care. And they came and they were there at the drop off at the road section. And, they took me back home and I was just lying in bed. I think it was like 10 in the morning, you know, because I'd run through the night. Nina taking the kids to school, fortunately, so I could just rest. Mum, she just gave me a little pep talk, you know, just like, yeah, you failed, but you tried. And you'll try again. You always do. You'll get yourself back up. And she never, like, she doesn't do that. Like, it's very rare for her. My dad's actually even more loquacious. My mum, you know, she gives few compliments far in between, but when they come, they're very powerful, you know. So I was like, okay, you know, it turned me around from like, this is over, I'm never going to do this. So yeah, I'll have another shot when I'm ready. And this beautiful weather window came out of nowhere a few weeks later.
That wasn't your same friend, though, giving you the intel.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did it go? Yeah, how was that first WhatsApp chat with your mate?
We had a little discussion.
Then some weather
about
emojis.
That. Yeah, there were a few arguments about what the weather actually was like. You know, he was like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I was watching. And I was like, it was that bad. And why don't you go up there and see how bad it is for yourself? That went on. We made up, though. Yeah, we kissed and made up. And then this weather that came in was absolutely perfect. It's just a few weeks later, it was a completely different world and I could not have had better weather for the attempt that I made. I was going to go on a Friday and then this guy, John Kelly, who you might have heard of.
Oh, yes.
He's just dropped me a line to let me know he was going to go for the Sunday. And I was like, oh, well, you know, if you're going on Sunday, I'd had this idea that they'd actually talked about, John Kelly and Damien Hall, about doing the spine FKT together and setting off different starting points and doing it at the same time. And I was like, well, why don't we both do the paddy buckle together? I'll go around anti-clockwise because I'm difficult like that. I like being really contrary and you can go clockwise.
And you both started at the same point and just went, oh, that's
this
great.
Is the thing. Yeah, he's the first person to get back to the start again. Yeah. And he was up for it, you know, fair play to him because he had different agendas. Like he wanted to finish all three rounds in the midweek.
That's right,
winter. Whereas I was just going out for, you know, I was out for the FKT. And he ended up actually dropping out 40 miles and I didn't know really much what was going on. And we missed each other, you know, halfway when we would have crossed. We were unlucky and then we crossed in the woods when there were different ways to go through the woods. So we didn't see each other. But I moved it to Sunday, but the weather held. It was stunning weather. It was a glorious day. It was absolutely an incredible experience. You know, I definitely had some issues that I had to deal with, and it got very serious for me. But during the day, you know, I've never had a better experience.
Is there a formal start and finish? I know with Bob Graham Round, it's Moot Hall, and that is that. With the paddy, is it the same thing, or can you jump in anywhere?
You can jump in literally anywhere. Yeah. So it's a point of convenience that you find works best for you. It used to be that Capel Curig was the preferred place. Now it seems to be more Chamberes.
Yeah.
But with John Kelly, he wanted to go Capel Curig and it wasn't actually where I would have preferred to start, but you know, I was thinking great opportunity. And actually Capel Curig worked out well for me because, going, I go anti-clockwise, and I feel like most of that way is better for me. There is one mountain that's really problematic when you go anti-clockwise, and it's called Pen Klikrigirach, which means slippery head of the witch. And running down it, you're going clockwise, it's lovely downhill run. When you're running up it, it's a nightmare because it just ramps up slowly, but it's boggy as well. So I don't know if you've run up boggy uphill mountain, you're just exhausted straight away. It's tiring. You know, you can't get a good foothold.
Yeah.
You slip in, slide in, you just feel messy. You just end up, you know, knee deep in a bog. And it's just like that almost the whole way up, only then it gets deeper. But that meant starting in capital that I ran up that hill first.
Cool.
And what actually happened was in the summer, I really got to know that mountain because I knew it was a weak point for me. So I was just going to do reps up it. And I got like the Strava segment on it. And, you know, I made it my friend.
That's mean you're amazing.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm amazing. It goes without saying, but thank you for saying it anyway. I really knew the mountain well, and I knew what time I wanted to get running up there. But I effed up some majorly because I've got this Garmin Fenix watch, and it's too bloody clever for its own good. You know, it's always telling me you need a rest day, and it's always bossing me around. You know,
yeah.
It's like your worst version of a partner. You know, it's always telling me too much, not sleeping enough, blah blah blah. But I press start on the activity just real quick, just in the car park before, you know, we started the round, and then I immediately pressed stop again, didn't think anything of it. And then when I actually, you know, started with John Kelly, bang on 7 a.m. and I ran up this hill, and I'm at the top of Pen Klikrigirach, and I got an idea, you know, I wanted to be up there in under an hour. And I look at my watch and it's like 1:10. And I'm like, it just shocked me straight away. I was like, oh my gosh, how have I missed 10 minutes? I know this mountain really well. I'm just going a lot slower than I thought. You know, I'm all like Kenyan and feeling it and thinking I'm, you know, on top of things. And I was a really controlled effort. And I'm 10 minutes off on the first hill, you know, that accumulates. You can't be that slow all the time. So I just take off at that point. You know, I'm like, oof, you know, the adrenaline kicks in and I fly down the hill, and then I fly over that whole leg, and it was a beautiful morning as well. So, you know, when you're running, what you feel like is a quicker pace, you're enjoying it, and the adrenaline kicks in a little bit. And then, you know, went straight bang over Trevon and did the next leg fast. And then at some point on the next leg, I looked at my watch and then I realized there's an elapsed time function. So it had started my watch, you know, from that initial period, you know, when I just pressed start and stop real quick, but it had counted that because it's so bloody, you know, it thinks it's so clever. So I'd got the whole pacing wrong. I was going out way too quick. You know, I then looked at my heart rate and it was like, if I was on a track, that would be like 5 minute miling, you know, I was going fast. And then I was only had been running like 4 or 5 hours. So I had the decision to make, you know, okay, you can slow down, you know, you haven't blown everything. And I didn't want to. I was really enjoying it at that point. Well, this feels good. Maybe this is just going to be my day, you know, where I can just go flat out through the whole round. You know, I do have a bit of firepower, you know, which is like it's a blessing and a curse. You know, I'm on the track, and when wherever a track we're running, I'm like, 4:30, 4:40 mile pace. So I've got a bit of speed in the leg. So can go quite quick if you want to, but then the cost is,
you
can't keep that up. And I mean, I did have to pay for that majorly later. So I'm blaming that.
What was that? What was the effort like? Were you, I know you were solo, but could have been conversational, or you were
no. I'd seen this thing. I was 10 minutes behind on the first mountain. I'm like, right, I need to make up that time. You know, and obviously I got that wrong. You know, my watch was wrong, and I was running perfectly at the first point, but I was going too quick. And although I could eat, I was like, I'm on the verge of that lactic thirst.
Yeah,
you know, and my belly is not entirely happy with that.
Tummy
at this state, and then, when it came to night, it all came back to roost. Yeah, I paid majorly for the earlier ambition. Yeah.
But would you normally be quite methodical, so you'd know your split from summer to summer? Did you have that written down somewhere?
So it's harder for me because I'm going anti-clockwise, so none of those splits are out there. You know, I have to go off my own recce's and what I've done because no one else is going that way. And I've never really gone in for that. You know, I've definitely been more about feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do know, if I'm honest with myself, I know when I'm going too quick or when I'm doing it a sustainable way. But I just decided to ignore myself. I had this idea in my head about making hay while the sun shines. It was a beautiful day. I wanted to put time in the bank. So I was running off a 20-hour schedule. But rather than go summit to summit, for me, I've got like a leg pace. So I want to be finished that leg. The paddy buck is 5 legs in a certain amount of time. So for the first leg, it was supposed to be 3 hours. And I came in 2 hours 20. So it's way too quick.
Yeah.
You know, it was a summer round schedule, you know, without considering it's colder. I'm carrying all my food on my back, or I have to fill up all my water in the streams. You know, all that stuff takes time away, and I'm still running some quick time for a summer attempt. And then, so I'm going more leg by leg rather than summit by summit. I don't want to have to look at my watch too often, you know, in the experience. I want to be out in the hills and, you know, getting all that, you know, all those amazing feels from being out there with the mountain. So I try not to look at my watch too much as well. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah. And how did that early effort manifest?
Yes.
Were you in the bushes? We can go gory.
I love the details.
Yeah. Okay. So I was approaching the final leg, 20-mile leg.
Smugly approaching that final leg, feeling good. Yeah,
yes. So I have an hour and 15 up on 20-hour schedule. And 20-hour schedule is an hour and a half up on record pace.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in for like 18 or 19 hours.
You're like, I can see the Las Cativa contract come in my way.
Oh, no. DJ Sport, come on.
DJ Sport, John Alban.
Unscripted, damn it.
I'm going to be their poster boy.
Yes, John Alban. Yeah, he's a hero of mine. I've raced John Alban before, but that's another story. It didn't go well for me. Anyway, so Knecht is a mountain that I normally can run the whole way up because it's a lovely gradient, really not too steep. And I found myself walking and I wasn't sure why, but I was feeling like, oh, I'm close to hitting the wall here, but I'm eating, you know, I'm on my schedule.
Yeah.
I know what my eating strategy is and I'm on it. So why am I feeling like I'm not getting any glycogen to my brain? You know, why is everything getting fuzzy? Get over Knecht, do a few more, and I've slowed right down. The pace is really dropping, you know. But I know I've got a lot of time in the bank. And then I go up another hill, and I try and take a gel, and I just throw it straight back up. And then not only that, I throw up like the previous 5 to go with it, and it was like a big belly. It was... Oh gosh, you know, like, you know, my abs were aching after it. So, you know, that one, like, it was an intense vomit.
Normally alcohol.
Sorry.
Right.
No. As if we would ever insult our bodies with that much alcohol. But I knew then from that throw up that I still have a good 10 miles to go, and I was not going to get any more energy in me. And I had the hardest, you know, possibly the hardest 10 miles to go. And it was in the middle of the night at this point. And I'm already at this point where, you know, I haven't eaten those last 5 bars. They haven't gone in. And you could feel, you know, if I get it in my fingers, tingling.
Mm, yeah.
There's no more glycogen and you're on fat burning. And that just means slow down. And it's so easy to, you know, I've lost already like a half an hour off the bank that I've milked.
Yeah.
The bank of time that I've made, I've lost half an hour. And I'm I get to this point in this quarry where I could take a detour down actually and be in my town. It's the nearest point to my town, be in my nice little bed, you know. And I could see the lights, and I knew that my family were down, you know, sleeping in the town. And it was a really inconvenient point for me to be feeling like that, because all of a sudden, all this good work that I've done and this incredible experience. And when you're feeling like that, you know, it's hard even for me to really believe it now, sitting here, because I've got the record and everything went well. But at that time, I was really, really just thinking, you know, F this, F that. I don't care about any of it. I can do whatever I want, and I'm just going to walk down this hill and it's all over, and all this pain can stop right now. Whereas I had to look at, I had 10 miles to go in the dark over this really boggy, horrible terrain. I just didn't want to do it. And I knew I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't even drink any water at that point. You know? And then I wasn't even trying, because I didn't want to throw up even more, you know, because I was just having such a bad reaction to it. And I know that happened because I'd gone too fast. You know, I had just pushed my body too hard. Your belly is part of your body. You can't just blame it on some external factor. It was my belly, and I had been force feeding it when I was running too quickly. And there wasn't, you know, apparently the blood comes out of your stomach and starts to feed lungs. And so I've been hammering my poor stomach. So from that point on, it was literally just trying to do one summit at a time. I had to slow right down, because you very easily twist an ankle, and then, you know, you're hobbling, and you slow down to the point where I could have lost the record completely. And it just went to like really, really basic, just trying to get from one summit to the next summit. Just promise myself, like, just do one more. It's all you need to do is get to one more. There is two. Before the round, I had all these process goals where I was thinking, you know, in between summits, I'm going to try and run these times, you know, just to completely contradict myself from what I was saying to you earlier. I don't like to set that goal, but I did have a few in there where I was like, oh, if I could get up this mountain in this time, that would be nice. So I wanted to run up Tribhuvan in under half an hour. A few things like that. And there's these two summits that are really close together, and I've run between them 2 minutes before. I was like, oh, it'd be great if I could break 2 minutes in between those two summits. And that was a process goal that I had. And in this effort, it took me 7.5 minutes to get from one to the other. And I don't know to this day how I managed to do it that slowly. I really don't think if I went back up there today, I could do it quicker blindfolded, literally going backwards. Like, I don't know how I was just going that slow. You know, I must have just been, back to just stumbling around in some hazy fog. So it went slowly. The last leg, I lost all that time that I'd banked and then some. And it was at the, you know, but it was at the decision point, you know, where I could have gone down to the town. So what I didn't say was, earlier in the year, I had actually started training for a road marathon, and it was lockdown. And I was having that awful time with kids and the homeschooling, and it was dark. But I'd had that previous lockdown number one, where I wasn't doing any running, and I was getting really depressed. So I was like, right, this lockdown I'm going to train through it no matter what. And I picked this marathon called the Wrexham Marathon. You know, if you've never been to Wrexham, then you're okay, you don't need to, I don't need to say any more about that. But it's not, you know, it's I didn't pick it because it
Gary's
was
Gary's favorite marathon
and the destination event, was it?
It's not, you know, it's around the industrial estate as well. So, you know, it's not even Wrexham. And I just trained hard for that marathon. I got up at 5:30 every morning, and I was on this treadmill in the dark by myself, and I was pushing hard. And the reason I'm telling you is, I get to, it's not me just having a pity party. I went through 3 months of that. And I was running 100 miles a week. And then I was homeschooling the kids, and we had to go out in the rain every day because I had to walk them like a dog.
Like dogs,
They need that energy expended. And it was like every day. And I'm a really sociable guy, and I like running with people. And there was none of that. It was just me. And there was a lot of time on the treadmill. And I was, you know, suffering, but I bought it on myself. You know, it was different to the first lockdown. I was in control of it. And I was getting fit from it. And I was, you know, I was working hard, and then I started to just, you know, push it a bit more. So it was 110, 20, up to 140 miles a week. I was feeling really fit. Yeah. Yeah, with all, you know, the homeschooling, which is the hardest thing, like harder than being a builder and running 100 miles a week, you know, which I've done. This is hard. I can see, you know, it's just like constant, daddy, what's your favorite dinosaur? You know, for God's sake, I don't know. Whoa, is it a herbivore? And then I threw my boy on his bunk bed, on the top bunk. You know, and if you think about that, it's like it's kind of a twist and a lean and a back and a forward. And it wasn't like throwing a bag of cement where you set yourself, you know, and you think about it. I just had done it. And next morning, I couldn't walk. I put my back out. And I just reached 40 years old. And this is the first time I'd ever hurt my back. And it was so bad. Like, I could not walk, you know, for 3 weeks. And I went to see a physio and he was really good. But I'd never had a problem like that where it just didn't budge. And yeah. I missed the race. The whole race was gone. And then all that fitness and all that pain and all that dark treadmill running, you know, I just saw it just disappearing in front of my eyes. And I was, let's say I was disappointed about that. You know, I thought the world owed me a favor and I was angry. And so when my back could get better, I went and tried the Paddy Buckley round again. And I was just expecting all that fitness to be there because it should be there because I deserved it to be there. And it was gone. You know, I was not fit enough. I lost it all. I felt like I lost like a morning for all that work I put in, you know, and a lot of it, you know, was harder than I could even conceive. Like, I remember this 8-mile run I did this afternoon on the treadmill and I just couldn't do it anymore. So I had to convince myself that I work out on this, in this outbuilding, and there's a door into my house, and I convinced myself the door was locked until the treadmill reached 8 miles. It had to be 8 miles. And I was like, I don't care if I have to sleep on this treadmill tonight. Yeah. This run is getting done. And, you know, this pace got so slow and it was embarrassing and I was going so slowly and I was like crying and I was like, how can this be so hard? And I couldn't imagine finishing it, but I finished it and I got into the house and had my cold beer on the sofa. And I didn't even tell my wife I did an 8-mile run and it was really hard. Yeah. There's not much more to say. I got to this quarry with 10 miles to go and it felt like standing in front of a cash machine and saying, I need all the money. I need to take everything out. And all that training that I thought had disappeared into the ether. I remember Eddie saying, it's training the mentals as well. It's, you know, something in me decided, you know, you're not done yet. Your year's not over. I'd let go of all the ambition that, you know, of the marathon. And I was like, I'm going to have to accept that training for what it was. You know, it taught me to deal with adversity and it taught me, I came off my social media a lot more after that and I was like accepting it for that, but it was still there. Yeah, it was like that pain and suffering that I'd gone through. You put energy out into the universe and somehow it does come back and it just, you know, I had enough money, I had enough invested in that year that I managed to get,
you checked in bounce.
Yeah, it, exactly. And that was how I really felt, like I managed to withdraw all that effort somewhere. It wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I thought it was going to be a fast road marathon. And it ended up being something entirely different. But it did come back to me. And I was so relieved. I was just so thankful. And I got to the end. And all it was, you know, I had all these ideas. Like I was going to do this dance that I could do. And I was going to be singing songs. And it was just... it was something very different. I was just relieved and it was over. And yeah, but I was so thankful the year had ended the way it had. You know, before Christmas, I'd managed to get this FKT that I'd wanted so badly for a few years. Yeah.
I love that full circle story. Yeah. I feel amazing. I was like, where is this going?
The story with
the treadmill and the door and how is he going to relate this to being in the quarry? But you did. And I reckon a load of people will so relate to that when they're listening to that, but thinking how many disappointments people have in their running journey where they do a massive, they commit and they juggle everything and they get to a race and they can't do it because of lockdown or injury or something. And I always say to people, or it's a bit, women having babies and they're like, I'm never going to get back to that fitness. And I'm like, it will never, ever go. It's always there, but it might not appear how you think it's going to appear, and it'll appear, it will be there. You've just got to trust the process that when you need it, you will remember it and it will come back.
I thought I had some kind of a grasp of that. And I went out and I tried the summer paddy buffet and I was like, you better be there. You better be there. It wasn't until I...
You can't ask for it. You can't ask for it.
You have to fully let go. It won't come then.
It's like the kids, isn't it? You can't tell them what you want them to do. You've got to slowly, well, maybe we could do that.
Yeah, I've lied to myself a few times. I've asked myself, just one more time, Gary, one more time. And then I've told a fib.
I do that every day. I'm like, it's only four hill reps. It's only four. Yeah, and I do four. And I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's six. Oh, no, actually, it's 16.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I don't know if I want to ask this, but do you think because of the last, say, 10 miles, do you think you'll go and try and break your record or maybe wait for somebody else to break your record and then try and break their record?
So it's a good point you make, Gary, because what actually has happened, and I have to put the record straight for Eddie here, it's not going down as unsupported.
Well, I knew that. I had read that. Is it because of the film crew?
Yes. So initially, I wasn't too bothered about FKT because they're American. So we don't care.
Who are they?
Who even are you? You know, but FRA, I am bothered about. You know, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I respect in that organization, and they're like the official UK governing body. And I got an email, from the head honcho. I'm not going to mention names. But he stipulated what would be acceptable for it to be unsupported and then to have a camera crew. And then we fulfilled that and the camera crew went by that to the letter. But unfortunately for me, they then had a discussion and decided, no, it's going to have to be supported. I was disappointed and I did make that clear, and that's all fine now, because I know for me that having done it, solo unsupported, it didn't make it a better adventure for loads of reasons. Like the feeling of just being self-sufficient that whole way round, without needing anyone or anything, is a thrill. And it's not something anybody can do. I've built a lot of experience.
Yeah.
So when it's something that is quite unique and not everybody's out there doing, it does feel better.
Yeah.
I didn't need to meet my dad at road sections and stuff like that. So then you don't even break it up into road sections. You just think more about being out in the hills the whole time.
Yeah.
And even though they decided to classify it as supported, I know for me, and Nina knows, this is always the most important thing, I wasn't getting any help from anyone. And so that's fine. So I've made my peace with that. But if I had done it supported, it would have been a lot quicker. If I had had that help at the road sections.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever would have done it accompanied. I would have always wanted to do it solo. I just get that spiritual journey that I only find personally that I can get doing it solo. And I'm a really sociable person. I like people, but something about being out in the mountains, being out in nature for that amount of time, for the whole day, seeing the day go from morning to day, seeing the sun come up, the moon.
Yeah.
Oh, you just get this spiritual journey going on that I just don't know if I would get if I was running with people. But I would have gone quicker if it was supported. There's just a lot of faff you need to do on your own, unsupported. And then also I could have probably taken better care of my nutrition. So I think somebody could go quicker. Somebody could go considerably quicker. But then I've got those memories, I'm rich in those memories right now. Yeah. And so that's okay. I don't know if I will go back and do it again. I'm not sure. I suffered after that. I had this idea that Christmas was just going to be this incredible.
Yeah, do you know what? I did that, was my next question was going to go, how was your Christmas? Did Nina love you over Christmas? Was your energy up there? Were you like...
No, Nina did not love me over Christmas. No, poor Nina. That's
poor
the thing.
Nina,
honestly,
what a ledge. What a ledge.
Honestly, she is, because I don't know. At the end of Christmas, I was like, please don't leave me. I'm so sorry. I will get better.
But it's so hard when you've done these massive things. I mean, and I think it's not realistic and we don't post enough on social media, but we see the loveliness, but the couple of weeks after, we are just a disaster and we're useless and we're just
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that, because I don't think people do really understand. You know, I've trashed myself as hard as I can trash myself on a marathon, as hard as you can go, but it's more acute. It's,
yeah, it's 24 it's hours not, of it's not down same. Steps,
it's not so. The same. This is like
not these night sweats, the waking up, the like
yes, that's the, it. The insomnia,
the real lows, the depression, the like irritability, all that like comes out of your pores.
Oh my God, it's like you could just do this interview for me, because that was all going on all over Christmas.
Well, it's only because I do it myself.
Yeah,
my poor husband's like, and then when I'm better, he's like, "You're back."
Yeah. But then I would have a day where I'm back. And then the next day, no, I'm not yet. No, I'm still the bad me. Yeah. And I have my family all around me. And there's just people that I love so much. And we missed it all last year. And I was so excited about it. And then I was just not getting sleep.
You just don't have the energy, do you?
I wasn't eating properly. And they're like, how was the Paddy Buckley? I was like, it was all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'm not much to say about that. You know, and the idea of me just sitting everyone down by the fire, we all had a Baileys and we all.
But you're like, you feel unfulfilled, don't you? You're like, there's more.
Disconnected. I
mean, yeah, disconnect. That's a good word.
It was disconnected.
Anyway,
was
now, now you can send this podcast on your family WhatsApp and say, look,
sorry.
I didn't say how much I loved you over Christmas, but here it is.
I love you over Christmas.
I love you guys.
Can we have a big shout out for all the Ninas out there, though?
Yeah, and all the partners.
Nina, and, you know, she's out running, doing her own thing, and it's just not getting all the podcasts, you know, and not hopefully the little documentary. And that's where the real struggle happens, you know, where that's where the real work is. It's when you're not doing the podcast and you're doing all that quiet stuff. And that's what most people are not getting, you know, the opportunity to talk to you guys, and they're working just
people,
as hard.
Yeah, people knocking down the door to talk to us night and day, night and day, that inbox.
Quite right.
Right, so we're still having the slight come down from Paddy Buckley, but have you put your eyes towards 2022? Have you got any ambitions? You don't have to share if you're not ready.
Yeah, no, listen, like, you know, I said that earlier, you know, I'm quite happy to share as much as I can, you know, and the main reason that I went with the camera crew was so that I could share the journey. And I just think fell running, being out in the mountains, this is such an incredible thing for everyone. It's my favorite type of running, and I've done all the running. I don't know if you saw my latest Instagram, you know, also with Nina's very climate aware, that's her job, is being climate, you know, aware of the crisis, and just trying to encourage people maybe to do one staycation a year instead of, you know, the trip to, I don't know, the Maldives or wherever it is. This is beautiful places around here, and you know, maybe not take the flight. And I'm such a massive hypocrite, and I know that I have to be, because I'd rather be that than someone who's not trying to help changes that happen. And so I've flown all around the world, and I've been really lucky. So anything I say is as a hypocrite, and I have to put my hands up and be honest about that. But now, you know, rather cotton on. Hi, Denny. Whose is that?
It's Eddie's dog.
Oh, lovely.
We always get a bit of a dog. Yeah. There's not a show goes by without a dog intro.
Right.
Postman. Postman. It's highlight of the dog's day.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you come to see us again with those brown packages? Are they full of dog biscuits? No, they're never full of dog biscuits.
And well, I'm going to check.
Never. I'm going to check. I'm going to check. Sorry, carry on.
No problem. No, it's fine. Yeah, I love dogs. We're a dog family. It was just like that was the reason. And so then I can't regret, you know, losing this silly, supported, unsupported thing that in 100 years nobody's gonna care, nobody's gonna know, like, why even worrying about it. So yes, with the staycations, that's a big part of trying to encourage people to come here to Snowdonia and see what's here, you know, before maybe taking the flight and going somewhere, you know, sexy, because I've been all around the world and I can honestly promise it's just as beautiful here, you know, as anywhere else. So with the goals for 2022, in lockdown 2021, I managed to go and get myself like a fully qualified coach. And it's not that I necessarily think that you need to be a qualified coach to coach people, but I'm also coaching kids now, and I can definitely see why it'd be a good idea to be qualified before you coach kids, just to give parents that peace of mind that, you know, you're not going to ruin them, you're going to exhaust them, you know, when they're young. And so I did that, and I'm growing a squad I'm really passionate about. Talk about grateful, being grateful a lot, and how actually being grateful should lead straight to action. You know, don't be grateful, show grateful. You know, and so that's what I'm trying to do, is to give back as much as possible. You know, 2022, I've got a lot of athletes on my books, and I've got this squad every Tuesday where 50 of us turn up and train, and I'm really passionate about that, really enjoying that, and so just trying to get as many people as I can along with me in the journey, you know. And yeah. I'm a long way from perfect. I've got lots of flaws, but you know, if you meet up with other guys, do it, go for it together, you know, in a really human way. So whatever little bit I can do, you know, to be out there in the mountains and then help people think, oh, I can do that too, that's just massive for me. Yeah. So that's definitely number one goal 2022. In terms of running and races, we did have a road race that we were trying to do in February, a half marathon. I don't want to ever get too far away from that. If I can keep my speed. It's looking like it's going to get cancelled.
Shut up. No.
We're at 50 people maximum outdoors in Wales at the moment.
Okay, yes, it's different.
It's still as hard because I've just had my third booster and it laid me low for a few days and my arm's still a bit achy. You know, you're like getting riddled with all these vaccines, but we're still having all these lockdowns and restrictions. And I know the reasoning for it all, but it's just tough. It's just hard to take because just been through it.
I think we're all fatigued.
Yeah, everybody is beyond fatigued. It's like levels beyond. I was fatigued last year. Now I don't know what I am. So looking at, have you heard of the Dennis Rankin rounds?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. Yeah. Ross Jenkins on the show.
Yes, he did the four, didn't he? Yeah. That's right. So I actually saw him. I was at the
recce. And it would suit you because it's like the most runnable, isn't it?
It's runnable, and the reason actually is that my mum's from Northern Ireland, and we used to go there a lot as kids, and I've been up those mountains as a kid, the Moran Mountains, and so we've got family there, so we could stay there, so we're looking at doing that maybe over a half term, just going recceing that, and then, you know, maybe going for the FKT on that, if I get a good shout, if I get the weather, if I get the training, that would be a great
back on the target.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'd love to do Bob at some point, and following your footsteps, Gary. It's just been done a lot.
I'll leave some flags out for you.
Yeah, okay.
Best lines.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit put off by the supported nature of it. You know, you have to be with pacers and that, don't you?
If you haven't done it, yes, you have to have somebody there to ratify it.
And it's just a bit of faff, isn't it? And people and organizing times and dates and everything like that, you know. So it's on the list for sure because it's, you know, such a big one, isn't it? It's iconic, but
it's great.
Probably, next one might be Dennis Rankin. You know, this is not as well known, but it's close to my heart. And I get to take the kids to Ireland and see their family and that. So that's maybe what I'm looking at next. Not sure on Dragon's Back. I don't know. It used to be every 2 years and now it's gone to every year, but I think every 2 years might have been a good idea because it's just a big thing. It's a big ask. So I'm still feeling like I'm not sure if I'm ready to go for that again.
You need to know you're ready to go. It's a lot doing your best. Physically and emotionally and financially.
the whole shebang, isn't it? Yeah. It's like it hits you everywhere, especially in the pocket.
Have you got any capacity for athletes? You mentioned about you've been a coach and you've got the group. If people are local, I'm not too sure if you do remote coaching too, actually, but have you got capacity for that?
Yeah, so I've always been coached face-to-face, Gary, and, you know, and I can see the need and the reason for online coaching, especially through lockdown. And it's, you know, it's so much more helpful than someone getting a generic schedule off Runners World magazine, you know, or something like that. But for me personally, I work best face-to-face, and all the best coaches that I've seen work that way. And I was getting a lot of offers online, and there is some money to be made there and all that's great. But for me, I had to be true to what I do best, and it's always face-to-face. So I only work with athletes that I can see.
Yeah.
So that ties me down to local. So yeah, I've got this group called Track Tuesday Treble. I can give you the link. and yeah. you welcome anyone. And I just try and instill the philosophies that I learned in Kenya. And it is something else that I do believe in with face-to-face that you just can't emulate easily, or I don't know how you would emulate online coaching. It does seem to make people train on their own, and then you can never get that lift, you know, that you get from a group, or say if you've got a wide range of abilities. And there's always someone for me to point to, you know, yeah. like I'm a big believer in form, and I'm like, okay, I've seen this, I've noticed this with the way you're running. And, you know, that's great. But if you wanted to improve on that, just have a look at the way that guy's moving, or maybe just run behind him or her for that rep. Mimicry is such a powerful thing. And that was just so massive in Kenya. That was what they did all the time. And we just don't think in the West enough about actually the way we run and perform. And I know people are trying, they're out there trying, but in Kenya, it's inbuilt early. You know, form running is important early. And you've got the column, the most successful coach in the world at distance events, always getting the experienced runners out in the front and getting the apprentices behind and just absorbing those lessons and picking that up. And it's something that I'm really trying to instill in my squad. So Track Tuesday Treble is at Bangor. So there's not a big catchment area, unfortunately. I had to drive an hour to get there every day. And so I coach the adults on a Tuesday and I coach kids on a Wednesday. But yeah, that's, if you are in the area, definitely come down and check us out. Yeah.
All right. Cool. With our big five. These are big now, Russell. You think you've gone deep into some of the things that you talked about
before. Okay. All right. I'm ready for you, Eddie. I can do this. I thought you said big thighs there.
Yeah, I can.
Nice. Thank you.
We'll do that. We do that after the podcast. That's the midnight show.
First off, favorite trainer, or maybe the trainer that you used for your Paddy Buckley?
The VJ Sport IROC. And it is the best shoe on the planet for that. When it says the best grip on the planet, and they do semi-free shoes now, disclaimer, but I bought them before I got free shoes. And for that kind of terrain, which is everything, mud, rock, wet, dry, you're going to get all of it on a Paddy. This is the best grip and the best fit. And also the upper is made out of Kevlar. Yep. So it doesn't just rot away like some other very popular brands.
Can you say the name of the shoe again? Because yes. I couldn't hear it.
Sorry. VJ Sport IROC. And they come from Finland.
Finland, yeah.
And I couldn't recommend them highly enough. And all my mates around here, they're not sponsored. I recommend them to them. And so I had to run with those guys, and they were no good. I get a lot of stick for that. They really
are.
Have
you tried the Ultra version of the VJ?
The Ultra is a great shoe. It just seems like they're not making them anymore. So I'm not sure if they're still on the market.
I think there's a new one coming out.
Hard to get hold of. There's a new one.
VJ.
So the Ultra is good, but it's hard to get hold of, yeah.
And the sizing, do they come up slightly small, slightly big, if people want to try them?
They normally come up a bit narrow, and people do say that, but I found after about 50 miles, they break, you know, to where you need them to be, which is great. I'd rather it that way. So I've never had a blister, even through the whole Dragon's Back. I did the whole thing in a VJ IROC without a single blister, because it just fits so tight, so snug. So yeah, maybe half a size. You want to go half a size bigger, especially if you want to get a big sock in there. You've got cold feet.
I remember going to Finland. My wife's mother's Finnish. So holiday there quite often. And I remember seeing these trainers in the sports shop thinking, what the hell are those weird shoes? And then 2 years later in England.
Okay.
They're an orienteering shoe initially, weren't they? And then they've come through. But the grip is incredible. The grip. I just haven't found one with the cushioning.
No, I don't think you will. I think they're a bit more, they're focused more on the grip. And also for me, I'm not a big fan of the cushioning. I like to feel the ground, but I totally get that. Some people do like the cushioning a bit more,
Any book recommendations?
Yes, okay. So when I hurt my back, I was reading a book. And before I hurt my back, I was reading this book. And what I would notice what I was doing is I'd get into bed, and I'd have my book open, and then I'd spend 45 minutes scrolling through my phone with the book open. So it felt better. And then when I got the injury, I came off social media altogether, because I realized it can very quickly turn into a not helpful place, you know, because then you're just jealous of everyone who's out there running. So I just deleted everything off my phone. and I started reading the book properly, focusing on the words, and it became one of the best books I ever read. So that was last year. I read Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky. I'm getting big into the Russian classics.
Oh, and wow.
It's like I'm some amazing reader.
Quite heavy.
I tried to write this down and I've written Brothers
Karamazov. So Russian has got its own alphabet. So, you know, some people might spell it differently, but it's basically, you might as well just spell it phonically, Karamazov.
Like a Karazo, like a pizza. Calzone.
Yeah, no, it's with a K. It's a K.
Oh, it's a K.
K-A-R-A-M-A-Z-O-V.
O-V, so, okay.
Karamazov. It's a brilliant book. And, you know, there are passages in there. They talk about people learning Russian so they can speak the Russian classics. And
yeah.
You can understand, like, I was in tears. It was absolutely, it's crazy to say life-changing book.
No, I agree. I love that. Yeah.
Book. Yeah, it was amazing. It was one of the best books I've read in a while. Brothers Karamazov. And I now also realized scroll holders is so bad for your attention span. Just can't sit down and read a book for half an hour anymore. It's just like, what's the next hit?
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
I have a book by the sofa, by the fire, that I read because, so if it's like I come back with the kids and it's like 6 o'clock, bit of dead time, and I don't want them to see me on my phone.
Exactly.
When I'm sitting, I'm like, you're going to see me reading.
Yeah.
Even like whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I want you to see me reading instead of on my phone because otherwise they don't get, you know, I keep going to you've got to read, you've got to read, you've got to read.
Yeah,
but if we're not giving the example because we just sit on the phone. So I really try to be like not that dead scrolling, dead, what do they call it? Doom scrolling, don't they?
I've never heard of that.
You're totally right. And I've noticed that the kids actually behave better. It sounds crazy. If you're reading, they just feel like, I find that they're not as irate. You know, they're not trying to get in on the screen and see what you're looking at. You know, they're like, oh, daddy's reading. I'll go and do something peaceful and quiet too. A little bit.
I'm
probably made that up in my head.
This is nuggets. Yeah, this is glory pictures, but we can try. We can try.
You really have wait, it's a teenager. You never see them again. That's it.
No, Gary, it's in a different child zone to
okay.
us.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, I've got that to look forward to.
A lot of treadmill running. How do you entertain yourself on the treadmill?
So, yes, a lot of treadmill running. It's dark and dangerous out here, and I get the odd bit of stick every now and then from someone who doesn't know me or what I've been through, and they just put this comment on social media, just be like, oh, I'm too tough for treadmill running, or, you know, weaklings train on treadmills. And you know what? I'm too old to care now. I do tough when it's time to do tough, and then when it's time to get the run in the winter, often I just put the treadmill on. And I'm a big fan of the NFL. My dad spent some time working in America and just got me into it from an early age. And I just love American football. So that's on at this time of year. And obviously, I just cannot watch that in front of Nina. No, that's a no. It's a hard no. So I can watch that while I'm on the treadmill. And that's great. It works out great for me. So, I'm a big fan of treadmill. You know, even just simple things like, it's massive. It's putting a mirror in front of you. You fix so much stuff just by looking at yourself in the mirror. We mostly don't get that immediate feedback.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you can improve on with your form just by having that simple feedback, you know, without anybody telling you what to do. So treadmills, definitely, yeah. I run a lot of my miles on treadmills this time of year, and I don't care. You can call me weak. I don't mind.
The older I get, the less ego I've got. I don't care anymore.
Oh, my ego's been smashed a bit so many times.
Who's your favourite team?
It's the Washington football team. We're not allowed to be called the Redskins anymore.
Redskins anymore, yeah. That's right.
Reasons. Yeah. Oh, so you know a bit about NFL, Gary?
Well, Channel 4 used to.
That's right, yeah.
My goodness me. Could be going 20 back. Years, yeah. 30 years. And I used to like the Redskins too, but not massive.
Yeah. I've got one friend in this country who likes NFL, and he's just had his second kid and he's disappeared. You know, he's to come down training on a Tuesday, and I'm just so remorseful of that child. I've got no one to talk to about NFL anymore.
I thought it was quite strange. We're on a bit of an NFL tangent. It's like a fright. Like in the UK, when you support a football team, that like it's for me, Sunderland. Yeah. they're forever, but
yeah, it's like
a franchise in the States.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders, they kind of disappeared and then
Yeah, they come and go, and they move around the country all the time. Yeah, Raiders are in Las Vegas now.
Can you imagine that?
It's very different. It's very different. And the fans sit next to each other. You know, what's that? Like,
yeah.
Imagine that with, you know, I don't know, Millwall and West Ham or something. Yeah.
I love these quick fives. These are the quickest fives.
Sorry, it's me.
Jeez, you two.
I apologize.
Starting talking about something, I don't know.
I could go on all day about myself.
So Most dreaded session.
Wow, that's a good question.
That's deep.
Yeah. So I hate, you guys know what a tempo run is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I hate a tempo run. Yeah. So I hate that all the time. We had to do these effing virtual runs, you know, during lockdown. I just cannot get with it. I'll run like a minute a mile slower. I just can't bother. I'm not into it. And there's road relays in this country, you know, it was a big thing, like history. Yeah. And I always want leg one. I just want to be in the race with the people. Not like I'm the quickest or anything like that, but I really suffer trying to go quick on my own. I just cannot do it. I just don't care enough. So, yeah, when it's a tempo run and I've got that on the schedule and there's no way around it, oh, I just hate my life. So that's yeah.
Last question. Your favorite game to play with the kids when you are knackered?
Oh, wow. Well, that's anything on the laptop. favorite game to play with the kids on the laptop? That's a good one. When I'm on the, when I'm knackered, there's pairs. Isn't too, I can just about get my
I was going to say, my app, I'm like, just cards, kids, just cards.
Yeah.
And it's got to be lying down.
Yeah. So
and
I'm lying down.
Play it, and I'm going to go like this. Oh, mum's done the same two cards again. Yeah, and again.
Oh, you get to win again. Oh, and you say, Pairs is a good one. Yeah, you don't need to think too much. And then they just think you're stupid and they're brilliant. And that's fine. I'm quite happy with that.
Parenting.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Russell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing the hours. We look forward to.
You didn't ask me coffee or tea, and so I'm disappointed.
Oh my God. Well, I think we know the answer.
Go on then.
We've had enough cups of tea during this chat.
No, it's
we haven't
coffee.
Had a single one.
Coffee.
Whoop, whoop.
Look at Eddie's face.
Lockdown, I did the whole cafeteria or coffee every morning.
And now he's going to talk about it. Not only does he not drink tea, he's going to talk us through how he percolates his grains.
I really want for work. I'm self-employed. So I've got a little workshop and it's just me and my wife there, but I really want a percolator, so I could just have coffee.
Coffee anyway. Yeah, it's when you have kids, I don't know how you go through a single day without coffee. So, how anybody could be a tea drinker with children,
you need to go to Finland then, Russell.
Yeah,
I think it's coffee. Most cups of coffee per person.
I've heard that. But
take your BJ shoes, go and see where they're built,
and have some coffee. Good.
I used to love it in Finland. At the end of the day, we'd have a little, this is probably like about 8 or 9 o'clock. We'd have our rye bread, our lovely cheese and coffee and just be around the kitchen table chatting about the day.
I thought you'd all be naked in the sauna.
I think this is after.
Yeah, there's been a few awkward moments with, I'm not too sure what the branches are, but they've been whipped by some naked men.
Yeah, probably your father-in-law.
I'm like this uptight Brit.
No. I don't think that's uptight. I don't think that's a bit too far.
Well, best wishes for 2022.
Thank
we look
you
forward
so
to
much.
Seeing your crazy, not only your crazy record attempts, your rounds, but also your training.
Oh, well, likewise. So look forward to catching up with you guys on the gram.
See you soon. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, Russell.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I looked at Eddie. All the kind of detail when we talk about these rounds and the races and the big, you know, long time on feet. I just love all that. Did you enjoy that one?
I loved it. I particularly like the bit where he is deep in the pain cave and things are not going so great and he's still got a long way to go. And he looks down at his house and he's like, it's just there. But then he's like, all that training he did for that marathon, when he talks about getting up at 5 o'clock to get in the terminal, it comes through and he talks about getting the money out of the bank machine. And I love that because I understand that and I understand that process. And I really
deeply admire any athlete that puts themselves, has done not only that amount of training to be able to put themselves there, but then when it comes to it and they're raw and they're deeply fatigued, but then they find that draw and that strength and that's what it's all about. And if you can get yourself into that position, it's terrible, but it's also the best feeling in the world. Talk to Debbie Martin Gonzani, hopefully next week or week after, and I know she's going to go, that is her. Put yourself in that deep, deep well and carry on.
I've looked back on races when I know I've not put in the training for the race and it hasn't gone well, and then I've reflected back, and I use that definitely to motivate myself in moments like this in my training when I'm not really feeling it, because I know come Lakeland 100, I don't want to look back and go, you know what, in March when I was feeling a bit...
I forgot my pin, I can't get my money out.
Yeah, so he's definitely put the effort in and cashed it in when you needed it.
Right, races coming up. What you found, Gary? This one looks good.
Yeah, Lady Anne's Way 100 miler, and that will take you from Skipton Castle to Kettlewell via Wharfdale and Wensleydale. I raced the Wensleydale Wedge a few years ago, and that was awesome. 20 miles, classic long distance walking event, hot soup, home baked goods and stuff like that.
Just saying, have some more of this stuff.
Yeah. I love it. You know, you're a bit chilly and you come into some village hall and there's just steaming bowls of broth. But yeah, a good friend of mine, Anna Bridges, he's towing the line this weekend, and along with Paul Wilson too, from another friend of mine. And best of luck, everybody who's towing the line this weekend. That would be, 100 miles in January. You've got to be brave entering a race like that.
Well, talking about that, we've got Arc of Attrition, 150 miles coming up down in Southwest Cornwall as well. Point-to-point coastal race, if you haven't heard of it. And it goes from Coverack to Porthpoint, sorry, my terrible pronunciation, around the entire southwest foot of Cornwall. So that is along the coastal path, a gorgeous route in the summer. In the winter, challenging in many ways. And it's so also got quite a big distance between the checkpoints as well. You've got like 20 miles of being, which is a long time in a 100 miler, isn't it? Being self-sufficient, and the dark and the terrain and the navigation. It's a true proper 100. I love
and that. What are the climbs like? Is it, say a Lake District in the UK, you could obviously a 5 mile climb.
So they're short. I mean, they're not going to feel short. There's a lot of steps and there's a lot of, it's a lot of relentless sort of like 200, 300 feet up, down, up, down. It all adds up. So best of luck if you're towing the line for one of those. Charge your head torch, keep eating one foot in front of the other. Oh, we've also got Pavel Polansi, and he's attempting a Winter Wainwright challenge. Is that this weekend, Gary?
Yeah, pretty sure he's going off this weekend. As far as I'm aware, he mentioned in his post, he's doing the Pultaney route. And I think it's actually the Steve Birkinshaw route, if I'm being picky about that. But best of luck to that. My goodness me, 100 miles is not enough for you. Let's go and do the Wainwright in the winter.
I hope you've all packed your geocharge bars.
Yeah, best of luck, everybody. Some big, big races there. Well,
are you actually going to do some training next week, or are you going to be sandbagging it on Swift again?
Well, I did do my 200s and 400s on Tuesday, so I'm going back in time a bit. But I did them with Neil, and it was real, honestly, proper working class workouts down the industrial estate in Horden. Not like no glamour at all in that in location, but we did it. We did four 200s, 10 400s, and then 4 200s to finish off. Really big recovery, because we run 400 then jog back to the beginning, so you've got a real solid recovery.
Do you find that almost harder when you're jogging back, because it's almost long enough to like you still what you're thinking about is the next
trying a bit slower? But it's like it's your mile, and this is, we've mentioned this before, you think it's a mile pace, but even 400 meters at that pace is uncomfortable. But it did, and you know, like I mentioned earlier, I really got workout fatigue. I really didn't want to do it. I was procrastinating. Didn't want to do it when I was driving over there. I nearly said to Neil, should we just go for a run? But he's super positive, Neil. So we did it. And as soon as I got going, I was fine. And I really appreciate it.
Getting that first rep. And I always cheat myself by going first reps, just continued warm-ups, just build into it.
Like build, that.
And then I kind of like, once I start, there's no way I'm stopping.
Yeah.
I had 6 by 8 minutes uphill to do this morning. And that's a big session to get your head around when you start. It's such a big volume session. So I was like, okay, so we're just going to treat this as 10 minutes because 2 minutes covered between, and I'm just going to build into it. I'm not going to go up. But of course, you kind of just end up doing them all at the same. If you start off, and this is where loads of people go wrong, if you just start off a bit more conservatively, one, you're going to enjoy the session more and you get more out of the back end of the session, but mentally as well, you're not then burnt everything. I think it's an old age thing too. Just can't go hard on that first.
But 6-8, so my goodness me, so how much effort is that? It's like 48 minutes, isn't it?
I couldn't work it. It's so funny. I was listening. I was like, so how
yeah, 8, 16, 24, 4, yeah.
158 to 160. How many minutes is this? But Bren Butt session, that for me, uphill training. And I do find that easier almost than a flat 6 by 8 minutes because you kind of just let the hill bring the heart rate up.
It doesn't take much to get the heart rate up.
It doesn't take much, does it? You don't actually just get that heart rate up. First minute or so, just the heart rate goes up and then you kind of just have to just hold, just keep the legs moving and not trip over the dogs. Anyway, sorry, you haven't finished. What else you got?
I was just going to say, I really appreciate Neil's company because I'm not too sure I would have done it on my own. Hopefully this weekend, I'm thinking a 20 miler at the Moors, if I can get myself out of bed in the morning. My plan is to go from the car park at the bottom of Rosary Topping all the way to Bloth Crossing and back. And what is good, when you get to a little village, anyone who's kind of Harmore's territory, you hit a village called Kildale, and I think you've probably got about a 4 mile drag. I wouldn't say it's a hill, but a 4 mile climb up to Bloth. And like you say, you increase the percentage of the gradient and it won't be too hard to get your heart rate elevated. So I'm thinking just take it easy, but then a nice 4 mile push up to Bloth and then head back. And I was just going to do, you know, I just noticed this morning, I'm doing this YouTube video, trying to do a YouTube video for my run to Fairfield. And I'm having a creativity block on how to get it all together. And sometimes running is just a brilliant bit of admin and it just clicks. That's what I'm going to do. And I just thought I'd mention that. Sometimes you just
get scientifically proven. Do you know, this is so funny, Gary. This is like why we're so in tune. Because I watched a TED talk on why being bored is really good for you. Because like any parents out there, when my kids say I'm bored, I'm like, only boring people say they're bored. This is perfect. Find something to do. But being bored is a big part of being a kid, isn't it? Like that's when you go and find something to do and you either destroy something, you choose a sibling to pick at, or you actually do something, you create something. But anyway, it said when your brain goes into this plain zone, that's when it allows it to be, that's when you problem solve, that's when you are most creative, and that's what happens when you go running.
I just got the clarity. It was brilliant. Struggling with it, I was faced with this dilemma with the video to try and make it interesting for 15
minutes.
Do I
play my heavy breathing? Do I play music?
And it was just like, that's what I'm going to do. So really, anyone out there.
I like running in the morning too, because I find that when I'm running and then I'm like, oh, must message so-and-so. Well, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. Whereas if you stay at home, there's too much.
I need a pad though, because I'll probably forget by the time I get home. I only had one epiphany this morning on my run. So luckily I could remember it.
Quick voice note.
You could do one.
Gary, remember, wash your pants.
So what are you up to then?
I've got one more key session to do this week. I'm just going to try and keep it all together. So as I said earlier, it's my like third week of my winter block. And I really believe like last year when I did this big volume of January and February, I really felt the back end of my longer races that's where the strength was, like Russell talked about as well. Like that was where all that hours and hours of disgustingness, that's where it came through. And because I'm going to potentially do 2 big races this year, so I just got to suck it up and do the nitty gritty. It's not glamorous. It's not that much it is fun, but it's also just a bit relentless.
Yeah.
You get up, I've got to train like 2 or 3 hours a day. I've got to somehow fit that all in. I've got to work out how to do all that. it's not going to be Instagrammable. There's nothing. I mean, I'll share this story with you. So yesterday, super busy, but I was like, good at hammering if it's training in. Okay. So the kids at one point were all doing something in this 2 hour slot. Anyway, man, so I got changed, but it meant that I finished literally as they finished. I had all my sweaty stuff on. It's like -8 or -9 by then. So I had to get changed before we went and got the others. So I just got in the van with my boys next to me, took all my clothes off, and I had my dry clothes to put on. And the boys were like, Mom, this is disgusting. What are you doing? I was like, look, this is real life, kids. You'll be doing this soon. You know, you've got to fit it all in. You're going to get changed. The shower will happen in about 3 hours' time. And they were like, oh.
I think I get changed in the car as much as I get changed at home.
Oh my gosh. And I have like bags of like various, I mean, it was a bit embarrassing then, because when I went to then go and pick up my littlest, I'd left a pair of pants stuffed down the back of my leggings, which was like bulgy. I'm so glad, because I was like, oh, it looks like I've got something like massive varicose vein. Anyway, I'm keeping focused. I'm managing, you know, keep focusing on every day on the long picture, which I think is really important of the like the reason for doing this. But also, yeah. I kind of love it as well. I kind of love being in that. I'm really in the zone. I don't care what UTMB say. I don't need them in my life. There'll be another race. But I'm really enjoying like just, you know, the balance. I admit I'm on a tightrope, as you know, of like holding it all together. But I almost feel I thrive under that sort of pressure. So I'm just going to carry on while the sun is shining. I'm going to profit from this time.
But I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't spinning plates every day of my life and fighting fires. If I was just at the reduced. About 50% of my commitments.
We often talk, Bryn and I talk about like when we're retired and the kids have left us. And he's like, you'll still be like, you'll be heading up the WI and some sort of church choir and rescuing racehorses. I'm a busy, you and I think we're both like, we like being busy. And I think a lot of runners will get that. Right, competition time. Let's talk about that. I think, Gary, we should perhaps interview for new hosts, because some people were hilarious of what they came up with. So if you haven't seen it yet, over on Facebook, we've got a competition running until next Tuesday on quick fire questions that we do at the end of interviews. And basically, Gary and I just ran out of ideas, so we wanted some ideas. And in return, if yours get chosen, we're going to choose two winners. You get a cheer charge goodies, and it's really worth entering because Tim's always super generous with the cheer charge packs. You don't just get a bar. Hell no. You get a couple of, well, I'm not going to say what you get because you can wait for a surprise, and I don't want then someone's lawyer to come knocking on my door saying, but pop over. There's some really funny ideas that we've already copied and pasted into our.
Talk about cheer charge bars. I haven't yet tried the Jaffa orange protein bar.
What?
Peter shared a picture of it, his cheer charge stash that he just received, that he must have bought. And yeah, there's a Jaffa orange flavoured.
Oh my God, they are my all-time. If Tim sends me those, they're done within 2 days. I'm going to say 2 days, I'd probably go one.
When I was doing my video at Fairfield, I just scoffed a cheer charge bar, and then I was looking back at the footage and I had chocolate on my lips. I was like, what's that on my lips? I haven't got a cold sore. I was like, what is that? But no, it was chocolate.
Oh God, wait to watch that video, Gary.
Edited that out. Never happened.
Right. Anyway, we digress, but pop over on Facebook, enter the competition. Think of, while you're out running, think of some good quick fire questions. Have you got a favorite one, Gary, so far? Can we do that yet? Or will that spoil the competition?
Oh yeah, save it. We might swear the direction of the.
Okay. Save it. But if you need some ideas, go and have a look, or just enjoy reading people who are much more creative than me and Gary.
If you are enjoying the show, please like, share, subscribe and follow. Subscribing to the show really is the best way for us to grow and be seen by like-minded people.
That was Gary loves being recognized in Ambleside, so please keep sharing.
I should move to Ambleside. It would do my ego quite a lot of good. It is, you know, I'll go back to it. It's wonderful when you meet somebody. So far, it's been positive. I've never had any.
Gary, no. If anyone said anything to you, I'd come and find them, Gary. Come at UTMB rage. I'm very happy. They're probably a little bit, they'd probably be like, oh, Eddie, she doesn't half talk. She doesn't half talk. And slightly annoying bitch. I can get that. But nothing, nothing about our Gaza. Absolutely not.
They were very flattering to both of us. It was lovely. Oh, wow. I've kind of lost my chain of thought.
That was episode 74.
That was episode 74. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the 5-star reviews. And thanks again to Cheer Charge for sponsoring the show. My name's Gary Thwaites.
I'm Eddie Sutton.
And let's run to the hills.